Why I don't follow anyone right now, and a look at depression. Listen while you're arting. Welcome to the J Primecast. This is episode 38. First things first, let's take a look at the follower of the. Actually, the first thing is this is a Jack and Coke, something to wind down my week, a little celebration, surviving the week. They're always tough. They're always jam-packed and full. I need to do an episode where I detail what my daily life looks like. I think people are curious about that just based on what a couple people have said. But I really want you guys to know what my day looks like and how little time I have to create. So yeah, one of these days I'll do that. Anyhow, the follower of the week. So point being, I earn this. Once a week, I earn this. You hear that? Clinkety clinkety. In my 49er glass. Hello, YouTube. So the follower of the week is Made Up Universe. Lots of great conversation with him this week. Left comments, just very active. And you guys know how much I appreciate that. So thank you, Made Up Universe. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. If you want to support the J Primecast, and I know you do, oh, actually, by the way, thank you to everyone who is already screenshotting and sharing. It seems like more and more people are doing that each week. It's so kind, it's so incredible, and I truly appreciate that. Thank you so much. Just, I mean, thank you. And there's people that are doing it consistently, week in and week out. I see you, I appreciate you guys so much. The growth that I'm seeing for the podcast is in large part due to you guys. I mean, I don't know how to thank you more than just saying it. That's the best I can do, I think, right now. Actually, I did thank people in the stories as well. So I don't know. At least it's that. At least you get that. So I'm done asking for donations. I know I've kind of put it out there that if you make a donation for $2, you get a question asked. The reason why I'm not doing that anymore is. Mostly because I answer every single question I get anyways. So there's no incentive to donate $2 for that reason. Yeah, that was the only reason that I always answer every question anyways. Actually, the biggest reason I think is I don't like to ask for anything at all. It feels gross to me. I don't like it. And when I listen to podcasts or whatever, and when people are selling something or asking for something, it drives me insane. I don't know, I feel it's disingenuous for some reason. And I know, of course, like people need financial support, so I don't blame them at all. But something about it just, I don't know. And you guys know I'm in a position in my life where I have a career that I live off of. I'm fine, so I don't need your money. Keep it. So I'm not going to be asking for donations anymore. But when I do have something worth selling, I'll let you know. Like Astro Pig, I have for sale on Comic Central for $3. I actually want to put that on my website for sale for $3. Maybe $2, I don't know. But Astro Pig is for sale. Besides that, or if I ever get Patreon actually up and running and I'm actually using it, I mean, it's up there, but I don't use it. Then I'll let you know. But otherwise, I am done asking for money. I don't want your money. Keep it. I'm fine. Announcements. I have an absolutely, you already know this because you are one of the people. But I have an absolutely incredible listener slash fan slash follower base. Incredible. The artist love that you guys are giving to each other is just blowing me away. I did this post, or actually someone DM'd me asking about depression, and I'm gonna comment on that a little bit later. But what I told them was, I'll just put it to your fellow artists and see what people say. And there was a big, big, big response in the feed, mostly. And what's really cool about that is that people, it's not anonymous. You're posting your, at least, not your real name, but your account, and putting yourself out there. And people will say, I am depressed, or I've dealt with depression, or whatever. But it was all supportive. It was all people being supportive and putting themselves out there on a personal level. So, and you know, even the people that responded through stories, I reposted, I think, all of them. It was a pretty good chunk, and I reposted those anonymously, but still, like, people are just reaching out to support their fellow artists when, you know, something like that came up. That's amazing. And to do it in such a personal way, a couple of people said, like, I want to know who the person is who asked it, who's, you know, so I can support them. And I said, no, of course, I can't divulge that information. But I was just, that blew me away. I know that people have tons of support within them, and I know people have mental health issues that they deal with and whatnot. And I know, I mean, it applies to everyone, but for some reason, I feel like artists in particular have some of that stuff more. I don't know why I think that. I could be totally wrong about that, but it's just a hunch. That blew me away. I was surprised at the amount of love that and support that came out just by me putting it out there. So, thank you, everybody. If you're one of those people that responded, thank you so much for doing that and supporting your fellow artist. Second announcement, shirts might be on their way. I've come up with a really cool idea for shirts, and I just have to put it together. I started doing that this week when I had a few minutes here and there, and I like the idea a lot. Not so sure about the execution. I have not much faith in my design sense. I mean, I do, but I don't have a lot of faith in my font typography kind of sense. And the what I want for the shirt designs is pretty heavily reliant upon that. I flirted with the idea of hiring someone, but I don't expect to make a whole lot of money on it, and I don't have really that much art money to spend at all right now. I'm kind of saving up for some better podcasting equipment, which I should have pretty soon, once I can bust these commissions out, because someone paid half up front, so the other half is pending. I just need to do them, and I'll be able to upgrade my podcasting equipment. And the most exciting part about that is that I'll be able to, I think, use my phone as a soundboard and like pipe in some like sound effects, which I'm really excited about. Another announcement. There is a special episode with Brendan, the at Metcalf Illustrations, the my first mentee. We did a series which was 9 episodes long, that you can listen to or watch on YouTube or on my podcast. Mostly on YouTube, not all of them are on the podcast. But that's dropping on Wednesday with a really, really, I think, a very interesting turn of events that I think would apply to everyone listening. So, seriously, on Wednesday when this drops, you have to listen to this. It's really good. It's really, really good. I was pleasantly surprised. And there might be another one dropping with him. So that's episode 10. There might be an 11th episode with Brendan dropping, because we have a planned talk. I think tomorrow night we'll be talking via phone. Actually, I don't know how we're gonna talk, but we'll talk. As a little check-in or update or review on it, he had a convention. He had a convention this weekend. I think it was 2 day. I think also might have been. I don't know. But yeah, he wanted to call me and kind of check in and talk about that. So that may be another episode as well. So the adventures with Brendan are not done, but the adventures with Jack, my second mentee, J Prime and Jack, those are on pause. He's doing really well right now. And we, on Wednesday, we talked and we're kind of like just decided let's pause this and let him complete some things and kind of reevaluate once he's ready to, which should be pretty soon. I think a couple months. But yeah, so hopefully you listen to episode 4, my mentorship with Jack. All 4 episodes are available on the podcast and YouTube, I believe. Yeah, they are. All right, 2 big topics to get into this week. By the way, I'm really glad that the podcast has taken on more of a, and I think I vary, I think I switch back and forth, but I like that this is more topical based. For some reason, I like that. And I think there's some really, really good topics that are coming out that I think are very valuable, and I hope they're valuable for you guys. I don't want to waste your time. I've done the best I can to like listen to other podcasts of different varieties, not entertainment stuff, but you know, a little bit of motivational stuff, a little bit of money making stuff, just because I'm curious. art podcasts this week. I listened to a handful, and I just, I don't like them. I don't know why. I don't, it's really hard to impress me. Not that I have great taste at all, but once I get the sniff of like someone's trying to sell me something, I'm like, I'm out. Leave me alone. Or if it's cloaked as if they're giving us value, but it's really just a sales pitch. Like I listened to a podcast, and I forget what it's called, but he interviewed people that are millionaires or whatever. That's cool. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try. I listened to two episodes, and it was really a big sales pitch. I didn't walk away from that with anything of value that I could use. And I get it. I don't blame them, but there was a lot of dressing on it, and I didn't get anything in, out of value, of value. So I hope that I'm giving you guys just nonstop value with what I'm doing here. So I think that doing more topical things, especially if it's based on what I know is happening on my Instagram community, my especially my stories community. I don't know. I think it's really good. So the first thing here is that I unfollowed everybody on Instagram. I'm down to zero people that I follow. And a handful of people asked, you know, what's going on? Is this a tactic or an experiment? That cracked me up. I think Harold George said it's one of his experiments. I'm open to doing experiments. If you guys have ideas, I don't mind messing around with my Instagram account and seeing what happens. I have no problem with that. I'm not fancy or sentimental about anything at this point, if it seems. So I unfollowed everyone. I was only following like 35 people. At the height of people I was following months ago, it was like 700. And that seemed ridiculous. And that was me trimming pretty frequently, keeping it, you know, or getting it down to that much. Because overall, I don't see the point in following that many people. They don't always post. They take huge breaks. They drop off the face of the planet. It gets repetitive. They try and sell me stuff constantly. There's all kinds of reasons why I don't like to follow 700 people anymore. So I got it way down to 35. And that was a couple of close friends that were artists, a few people that I really admire as artists, like Sean Galloway, Joe Madeira, and then the last one, John Somariva, great artist, but he also did an interview with me. And then the people from my Discord community. And that was, and then a couple of the people I've interviewed as well. And that was about it. But I just felt like going to zero. I don't know why. So the main reason that I did it is just because it felt right. There's no tactic, there's no strategy, there was no advanced thought besides I just don't want to follow anybody anymore. And I'll go a little bit deeper because there's been other things that have popped up, but that was the main reason. That was it. It wasn't a tactic. It may have hurt me in the short run. In the long run, Instagram may view that as a negative input into the algorithm. I have no idea. I just didn't want to follow anybody. So this is not something I'm recommending. It's just for me. It's not a recommendation. It's not a tactic. This is for me only. And like I said, it might end up hurting me. I just don't want to follow anybody. That's it. I want bare bones. I think last week I talked about I want to go into really deep into fundamentals. I just feel like I'm going into this like a cocoon. Sorry, I just heard something above me. My daughter's room is above me. She might be awake. So I just feel like I'm going into a cocoon. I'm just kind of going into my own thing, and that I will emerge as a beautiful art butterfly. That's my expectation at least. But I feel like I'm just, I don't know, I'm going in within myself. I'm just going into this cocoon and doing my own thing. I'm obviously very active with stories and my followers and everything like that. I don't know, I guess I just feel like I want to focus a lot more, and it's a cocoon and the eventual art butterfly. That's, I don't know, that's just the best way I can illustrate that for you. So here's a couple things that I will go deeper into. The first thing is what I noticed after I stopped following everybody, not everybody, but those 35 people. I noticed that my thumbs, when I go to Instagram and you go to the home, the first page you go to basically, where you see other people's artwork and you swipe through, I noticed that my thumbs reflexively went to look through the home feed. So I wasn't choosing to, my thumbs were just doing it. Like, it was my body had just memorized that. So it was no longer, in that moment, it wasn't a choice I was making to seek out artwork. It was just a thing that my body was doing. I didn't choose it, I was just doing it. My thumbs were willing to waste my time. And I know that the routine, it was going into a routine. I open up Instagram and then I swipe. That's the routine. Usually I'll go into my notifications immediately and then swipe. And maybe I did that. I don't, actually, I think I was. I was on the toilet. I checked my news feed, my news, my interactions, and then I went to the home. That's what it was. That's my routine. So my thumbs, it was I, my thumb, my one thumb on my right hand was willing to waste my time because I didn't choose to. And what I would do is swipe, double heart or double tap, leave a heart, swipe, double tap. Swipe, and that's the routine, I was just going into the routine. It wasn't about inspiration or learning or connecting. It was just reflexively doing. That's the first thing I noticed, and it was a shock because when I swiped, all I saw was my own artwork and an advertisement and maybe a hashtag I was following. But yeah, that hit me like, oh, I'm just doing this thing. So think about yourself. Like, when you're saying that you're looking through your feed looking for inspiration, are you? Or are you just looking, is your thumb just moving? Like, seriously, think about that. That really struck me. Like, I'm not choosing to do anything. I'm not looking for anything. My thumb is just doing something. So that's the first thing. That's what I noticed after I did this. Now, before I unfollowed everyone, I knew that I was getting irritated for some reason. And this has nothing to do with anyone in particular, at all. Seriously, like, please believe me on this. It's not about if you were one of the people I was following. It's not about you. Luke, it's not about you, man. I love you, all right? Harold, it's not about you. Gordon, it's not about you, all right? Daniel, my old friend, it's not about you. Not that he listens to this, but whatever. So I felt irritated. I felt like this, and this is a, I felt this back when I was following hundreds of people, that people were constantly trying to sell me something. I hate it. I don't know. It just really, really bothers me. I don't know why. I can't blame people. I totally get it, but it just bothers the heck out of me. That's one thing that irritated me. The other thing was I noticed myself getting jealous that other people were more skilled than me, and there would be this momentary feeling of being defeated or not good enough. And I don't need those negative thoughts and experiences in my life. They don't help me. Even if it's just, it was brief. It was the briefest little like dagger in my chest. And I don't want to feel that way. So part of this, I think, was choosing to not feel that way. I think that's what that, I think that was probably a big part of me having that spontaneous urge to just unfollow everybody, even though I didn't think it through. Yeah, someone's upstairs awake because I hear the toilet flushing. I don't like that feeling. I don't like that feeling of being jealous of people that are better than me, or wishing I had done something, or feeling less than. I don't want that, so I unfollow everyone. And I know I would love to feel inspired and blah 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 by looking through my news feed, but I didn't. I just didn't. And it's not about the 35 that were left. This was something that was going on, for honestly quite a while. And I think it took me a while to admit that to myself. So I just chose not to have those negative experiences. And the other thing here is that irritated me was that the people, and again, not the 35 that I was left with, but even when I was at 700, there are some artists that just do the same thing over and over and over again, and it gets boring. And even I do that. I'm doing a lot of Venom right now. I try and do it. I do it different every time. I do push myself every time to grow in some way. But like, seriously, like, notice that a lot of the artists that you follow, it's extremely predictable. I hope I don't fall into that category. Of course, you can predict I'm going to draw Venom. But I hope I'm giving you something different, a new experience each time. Because that's what I want for myself. I want to experience something different each time I draw Venom. So I know on some level, what I do is predictable. But I think when I'm able to be unimpressed by incredible artists, that it's just time to move on, for at least for a while. So, like, for example, Eric Canetti is phenomenal, but he's not blown me away with everything he does because I was seeing him every day. But after I unfollowed everyone, I went to his account and I was blown away all over again because I got to experience him after a long time of not seeing him. So it felt fresh. It felt, you know, different. There's a number of artists, I don't want to name any names, that do the same angles, the same faces. I will say J. Scott Campbell. I haven't followed him in a long, long time, but his ass draws the same girls over and over and over. And it gets old. You know what I mean? So a lot of artists do that. And I think that was something that irritated me. It's not really about the last 35 people that I was on. Honestly, I'm trying to think. Not really. I think the last 35 wasn't super predictable. But, you know, that was one source of irritation. Not just about the last 35, but, you know, the hundreds. The other thing is, and again, this is in general, but following people wasn't helping me grow. And this is, again, like, think back, you know, this is all the people I've ever followed. I'm sure some, like, not all the time, like, some people have helped me grow. But for the most part, I don't know if I was actively growing. The times I have grown is when I seek it out. And when I seek it out, I'll go on YouTube and look up Proko, or I'll go to Joe Madera and I'll study detail, like very in depth. I'll zoom in on his pencil work and stuff. So when I grow, it's when I'm ready to grow. And I know when it's happening. Like recently I've gotten way more interested in doing fundamentals. I'm ready to grow. I'm going to seek that out. I don't need to go to Instagram and flip through my home feed to do that. You know what I mean? So it wasn't helping me grow in that way. Like, it could have, and if it does for you, cool. But I know for the way that I work, I need to seek something out and be taught and go really in depth. So just flipping through people's stuff and double tapping it and moving on doesn't help me grow. It's no judgment whatsoever. If that's the way you grow, cool. That's just for me. And if I'm being really honest with myself, I don't think I was feeling super inspired by looking at other people's artwork all that often. I have tons of inspiration within me already. It was more just, seriously, like flipping through and double tapping and flip, like that was it. I can't say I felt super inspired by seeing other people work. Because I just, inspiration's not a problem for me right now. Or it hasn't been for quite a while. I can't remember the last time where I felt like I needed to be inspired. I always have something to work on. And when I can tell when I'm getting bored and when I need to be challenged. So, you know, following all those people, it just wasn't inspiring me. It wasn't adding to my skill level, I don't think. At least not consciously. It was almost a waste of time. Almost. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I don't know what I got out of it that was concrete. Maybe building relationships. I mean, the last 35, definitely in relationship building. But I can do that without following them. And there's actually been a benefit already to me not following these people. And I guess I'll just comment on it right now. Now when I go and visit, like I visited Luke, I think yesterday, I went and checked out Jack's work. Was it yesterday or today? Gordon Wills, I saw, went to check out his work. I think it was today. I think it was Gordon. But I went to these accounts and with a fresh mindset. You know what I mean? So I was able to take in, I went to their actual Instagram accounts and I took in the whole thing as package. So I looked at their stories and their feed, you know, from at a glance, from a distance, and then I clicked on them and went through them, read what they were posting, and it was a different experience than just seeing them in my feed, double hearting, maybe leaving a comment and moving on. I really felt like it was with a fresh mind, like I was ready for it. I was choosing to do it. That's probably why it was. I was choosing. I got curious. I'm like, oh, I wonder what Luke's up to. So I went over to Luke's account and saw him working on a really cool Batman and really challenging himself on perspective. And I felt inspired. Excuse me. I felt inspired by seeing him do that, knowing that I want to go in that direction. I felt inspired and I felt like I wanted to challenge him and do better than him. That's how kind of how I am. I think that's how he is too. It was a different experience, and I like that. I went to Eric Canetti earlier in the week, and it was a different experience. I got to really appreciate his incredible talent all at once. And I went through a bunch of his stuff. I looked in detail. I zoomed in and, you know, hearted things and whatnot. And I had a different appreciation for it. And it wasn't part of my routine. It wasn't part of the routine of my thumb. It was, that's a good shirt. That's a good shirt idea. The routine of my thumb. Nah, maybe not. That's stupid. So it was a different experience, and I wouldn't have had that if I had just kept following them and stuck to my home feed, my home. What do they call it? Home? I guess they call it home. So the benefit of all this is a new appreciation for artists and their artwork, and then being able to take in their entire Instagram offering, their Instagram package, and learning from it, and seeing it in a more objective way. So I think I needed a break from following people. I think I prefer to take artwork in chunks. Like, I haven't watched Proko in a while, but when I do, I'll probably binge on a handful of them. I may not visit Luke, his Instagram feed daily or see him daily in my feed anymore. But I prefer to take him in chunks, honestly. Actually, everybody. That's just how I prefer to look at things, I think. So doing this helped me to realize that. I'd rather just take things in chunks and be more objective and really appreciate things more. So the other thing that I do is I follow hashtags. I haven't looked through my home feed very much at all, honestly, because when I open it, I see my own artwork, and that freaks me out. And it also makes me realize, like, this is the last thing you posted. And I look at it in a different way now, and I'm much more scrutinizing of, like, does this accurately represent my skill level? And seeing things, what's interesting, when I open Instagram, the first thing I see is my own artwork, and I'm still not quite expecting it. So I'm seeing it in a more objective way. You know how you look at your artwork over and over again as you're working on it, and you're not objective anymore? But if you can kind of wipe your mind and look at it, it's more objective. So that's what I'm doing now, is when I open my Instagram, I'm seeing my last piece of artwork that I posted, and it hits me in a more objective way. So that's been a positive as well. I'm able to get that fresh pair of eyes on the last thing I posted. So I do follow hashtags. I haven't flipped through my home too much at all, because it's just more of my own artwork. And when I do, the hashtags do pop up, but not very much of them. It's weird. I thought they would pop up more often. But basically, I'll see like a few of my own pieces, and then I'll see an ad, and then I'll see a hashtag post. I thought it would be more, but I guess there's a frequency that Instagram does it. But, you know, I do follow hashtags. They do pop up in my stories. Again, I thought it would be more often. Maybe I'm following the wrong hashtags. But I do recommend, obviously, I do recommend following hashtags, because you'll be exposed to a greater variety of artists, people you may not think of. You'll make new connections. I've done that. There's an incredible artist. He's a phenomenal inker. His name is John Kill Ink. And he pops up in my feed all the time, because I follow, I think it's hashtag make comics. And I've interacted with him a lot, even though I don't follow him, and so he keeps popping up under that hashtag. I think that's why. But he's phenomenal. I wouldn't have found him if I didn't follow the hashtag. You'll have more stuff to flip through. You'll have more variety. But what's cool is it's going to give you a different experience each time because it's more variety. Unless you're like me and you interact with the same person over and over again, I guess. You'll also maybe see some trends. If you follow hashtags, you might see what's popular with, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. So I think there's a big benefit to following hashtags. I kind of wish that Instagram would fill my home up with more with the hashtags that I follow. But it's something. It gives me something. If I want to look through it, it gives me something different that I normally wouldn't get if I was just following other artists. Next topic. Let's talk about depression. Let's talk about depression, work, and creating. Someone DM me, and I'm not gonna read it off, but basically, I'm not gonna read it off at all because it's not about the person. I want to take this idea and expand on it, and kind of make it more applicable to everyone listening. As a therapist, I cannot provide therapy to anyone. Well, first off, not in my state, and not without doing a bunch of other things. So I haven't done those things. So this is not therapy. Don't take it as therapy. Don't take it as therapeutic or mental health advice exactly. These are my thoughts on a very general situation, right? So, yeah. So this person had written, and I'll broaden out about depression. He had been depressed, is depressed, and it sounded like he had a history of it, and felt like his work, his career, I don't think it was a career. It sounded like it was just some a work, like some place he worked, was not very fulfilling, and it sounded like he was blaming the work for his depression, and then that was coming home with him and affecting his marriage. So that was the situation. So I think that's a very broad situation though. So I'll talk about this broadly. I know that people listening to this have or have dealt with depression, or have a job they're not super excited about, to put it in the least. So first off, you don't have to work where you work. You get to choose. You get to choose. You can quit. You can find a new job. And if you can't, if you're forced to be in that job, I believe that's called indentured servitude. No, it's not. I don't know, but it's not a job. That sounds like a paid slavery or something like that. I don't know. But you're allowed to choose where you work. So if you have a crummy job, which we've all had, you can look for a new job while you have the crummy job. I've done the same thing. In college, I had crummy jobs that paid minimum wage. I think at that time it was $5.75 in California. And I hated them. And so I looked for a new job. I worked two pretty horrible part-time jobs, which I thought would be great because I worked at Aaron, I think it was Aaron Brothers. And it's all art stuff. But I hated that job. I hated it with a passion. And then I also worked at GameStop at the same time, which I thought would be great because it's video games and I was really into video games back then. But I hated that as well, because there was zero autonomy, zero creativity. Standards were extremely low. The people that I worked with were not into it, so it was all bad for me. That was just not the right environment. And customers are idiots, for the most part. So I didn't like those jobs. I think I worked for them no more than 6 months, and I looked for a new job once I knew I kind of should. And the job that I got after that was working in a fertility clinic as a file clerk. I was filing paper, not semen, just by the way, just so you know. It paid more, and it was really easy. And the people I worked with were pretty cool. That job, oh man, I used to take naps during the job. It was so easy. The bar was set so low, and the person before me was an idiot, apparently, because they. All you have to do is alphabetize things and put it away. And I'm a pretty fast, productive person, so I get my stuff done, and I would go sleep in the closet, basically, or in my car. But anyhow, I found a job that worked for me while going to school because I hated my other jobs. So Point is, you don't have to keep the job. Find a new job. That's the first thing. Just on a practical level, find a new job, right? An obvious thing. And that was a lot of the responses that I got from back from people were, find a new job. But that's not the problem. The job is not the problem. For any, if you are dealing with depression and you don't like your job, the job's not the problem. I doubt having a crummy job could cause actual clinical depression. I don't think so. So, and I could be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. Fine. But I don't think it is. So the feelings that you have, the depression, is the problem, obviously. Not the job. So what that means is if you are depressed, you probably were already depressed and then you got the crummy job. So the feelings of depression, that's the problem. The depression's the problem. Not the job. So what happens is that when we're depressed or anxious or whatever, that's the way we feel in our body, which is real. But then our mind tries to explain it the best that it can. So if you're depressed and unhappy, then you'll blame the job or you'll blame the relationship. But these aren't the problems. They could be problems. Your job could suck. Your relationship could suck. But if you enter these things already depressed, the problem is that you're depressed. And then deciding that the relationship is a problem or the job is a problem or that school is the problem, it's like, no. Those things are what they are, but you were already depressed. That's the problem. So really what we have to ask ourselves then is, what is depression? The first thing I want to note, I'm not going to go too deep into this. I probably should, but I will just kind of say, depression is not a thing that you have or that you are afflicted with like a virus. It's not a thing. You don't own it. You don't hold it. It's not a thing like that. It's a state that your body is in. Let's put it that way. If there are feelings that you have, it's real. I believe it affects you down on the nervous system level. I could easily go into that way into that in a future episode. That's a big discussion called the polyvagal theory, which deals with trauma and depression and all kinds of stuff. But it's all about the autonomic nervous system, which I've been obsessed with since this summer. So anyhow, depression, as best I understand it, is not an illness that you contract, that you get, like the flu. It's a state that your body is in. This could be for many different reasons. It could be from poor attachment to parents. It could be from, some deep sort of betrayal, from trauma that you survived. It could be from grief. Depression and anxiety are real things. I'm not saying that they're not real things at all, but it's not a thing that you have. Like, I think people will say that they have depression, and no, you don't have depression. Your body is depressed, and maybe that's a very fine line that doesn't make sense to you, but as a therapist, it makes a big deal to me. When you say that you have something, it's like it's happening to you. But when you say that your body is in a state of depression, now it's like, well, now you can do something about it. But when something's happening to you, now you're a victim. So I think when you say that, I am depressed, or I feel depressed, or more specifically, I don't feel motivated, or I feel like isolating myself, or whatever your symptoms are, now it's like, okay, well, that's real, and you feel that way, but what do you want to do about it? Now you can do something about it. But when you say it's happening to me, now you're a victim, and there's less you can do about it, I think. So anyhow, I think it's a big deal to look at it as something that you can do something about, but it's also real. It's there for a reason. And I don't know, listener, why you may be depressed or anxious or whatever. I have no idea what your history is, but just it's real. It's there for a reason. The kids that I work with and the adults that I've worked with is definitely there for a reason. There's a ton of trauma in Stockton. A ton. This place is saturated in horrible, horrible things. So it's there for a reason. It's real. I'm not trying to say it's not, okay? But that's why I say the thoughts aren't the problem. The depression is the problem. The state of your autonomic nervous system, that's the problem. And then what your brain does is it attempts to make sense of what's going on inside of your body. Which actually might think make things worse, because if you already are depressed because your parents were horrible or because you were abused, And then you grow up that way and you get a job, and then all of a sudden your brain's like, well, it's the job. The job's the problem. That actually is going to almost make things worse, not on purpose, not it's not unfixable or anything like that. But the problem was obviously you had crummy parents. But when you say it's the job, well, now it's like, now you're ignoring the actual problem, which is the depression and the crummy parents, and you're focusing on the job. But the job is just the job. Anyone can take it and be miserable, but it doesn't necessarily cause depression. So just that's kind of general, also kind of specific. But I think it's really important that we realize that depression is not just something that happens to you, but it probably is there for a reason. You don't necessarily have to get therapy to figure that out and to work through it. Tons of things can help out with that. Some people made suggestions in the comments for this person, but like seriously, tons of things can help out depression. Doesn't have to be therapy. Exercise helps depression. Walking helps depression. Yoga helps depression and anxiety. All these things help. Tons of things can help out. Art can help out. So just put that out there. But here's the thing. Like I said, you get to choose. This isn't something that's happening to you that you don't have control over. You get to choose. You're not stuck in depression. I mean, actually, you are. And that is real. Like, you are stuck in depression in a way, but not permanently. And the same thing is with the job. Actually, I mixed up there. So I will say that depression's not permanent. It doesn't have to be permanent. It is treatable. So I'll put it that I'll just leave that that way. But when as far as the job goes, you're not stuck. Yes, we're dependent on money to live. That's the way the world is. Get over it. But how you make your money is entirely up to you. If you don't like your job, do something different. And if you don't want to do something different, like if you choose to stay in the job that's making you miserable, you don't complain. That's a choice you're making. But the power and your ability to choose is what I want you to focus on. So either you choose to get a new job or you choose to keep your job. Either way, it's a choice and you have complete control over that as far as I know. And this isn't just for the asker. This is for anyone listening. If you don't like your job, choose to keep it, choose to get rid of it. It's up to you. You have that power. Have at it. But what I will want, I do want to give you, what I will give you is a new mindset here. Rather than thinking you have to work, to me, it's like I get to work. I have that privilege of being able to work. My body is able to work. My brain is able to think clearly enough to work, no matter what that is. You get to work. You get to create money and bring home to your family or your spouse or for yourself to buy video games. I don't care what it is. You get to work. You have the privilege of working, and you get to choose your job. For the most part, listener, you probably get to choose where you work. Some people in different countries, I think it's, damn, where was it? Damn, I can't remember it. I interviewed someone who was forced into doing, God, what was it? Like some sort of military duty. He had to do some sort of tour of like military duty. He didn't get to choose. His country forces him to do that. So I live in a country in the United States where no one's telling me what to do. The state of California definitely tells me how to do my job, where I can do it. I mean, there's tons of rules, which I hate, but overall, I get to choose what I do. On top of that, you probably have the privilege of creating, of being an artist and doing, mostly whatever you want. That's a, in a way, a privilege. You're kind of lucky. I think that's a, well, it's like it's a right. It's actually, I think, a right, but not everywhere you live will respect that you have the right to do that. We're not Stephen Avery. Oh, if you've been watching Making a Murderer on Netflix, my wife and I binged on that today. That dude is obviously wrongly imprisoned. We're not him. I just like that, as far as the new mindset goes, and thinking about how crummy your job is or how crummy your life is or whatever. You're probably not wrongly imprisoned for, I think it's over, the first stint was 18 years, and then he got wrongly imprisoned again. And so far in the documentary, we're halfway through season two. I think it's been 10 years. So this guy's lost almost half of his life in prison for something he didn't do. He has no control over the matter. He is completely at the whim of the government, which terrifies me. But we're not him. Like, we're out here. We're not wrongly imprisoned and being targeted for, I don't know why, but like, we have that ability to make a different choice. We don't have to go out and like hunt for our food or build a house. Somebody else who has a crummy job, they did that, and now it's in Safeway, and I can drive there in my car and pick it up and come home and create. Like, I think having a deep appreciation for what we do have is a big deal. I think it's a big deal. And I think that's something that probably Gary Vee talks about a lot. But the other thing he talks about a lot that I like is to just take responsibility for everything. He says, whatever it is, it's my fault. Fine. And for him, he's a business owner, and that makes very real sense. But I think day to day, whatever comes up, just say, that's my fault somehow. I take responsibility, and you move on. If you take responsibility, that means you can do something about it. For the most part, I know I'm talking generally here, but for the most part, if I have a crummy job, that's on me. You know, what am I going to do about it now? If my relationship sucks, what can I do as part of that relationship to do things better? If I'm not creating as an artist, that's on me. If I can't get published through Marvel, that's my fault. What am I doing wrong? Or what can I do better? Who can I talk to? What connections can I make? Or whatever. I don't know how to get a job at Marvel. I don't care about that. But you get the idea, right? So just as a new mindset, appreciate the heck out of everything you can because you have it. You're not paralyzed, I don't think. You're not in a coma. You're not Stephen Avery. And take responsibility for everything you possibly can. I think focusing on appreciation will bring a nice new emotional foundation. There's things that we have that we're lucky, or opportunities that we have in a way we're lucky. Not everyone does. Not that everyone has a great life, I get that. But the fact that you can work, listener, and that you can choose a job, like, you know, there's nothing to complain about. I just, you know. And the other thing is, even if your life does suck and you're somehow forced to have a crummy job, you're alive. Like, you're alive. I'm alive. The chances of that happening are very, very small. And that's more to say. You're alive. And the other thing is, you're going to die. You will die. I'm going to die. If I live to be 90, my life is already over a third over. I've done over 33% of my life. That terrifies me, but at the same time, it makes me appreciate that I'm alive. It motivates me to want to waste zero time with the time that I do have, and to be the best that I can at what I can do. I'm going to die. So, I don't know, that thing, that puts things into perspective for me, that's just for me, real, real quick. So, I hope that helps anyone. I do want you to know, I'm not in any way trying to judge if you're dealing with depression, fighting it, working through it, whatever you want to put it, I don't care. I'm not judging it. I know it's real on a very deep body level. That's real. It's something I've been learning about way in depth, since this past summer, the past few months. So I get that. I get how immobilizing it is. But the fact that this person was in a place where they could ask for help, that's a huge step forward. So I can only hope that if this is an issue for you, that you're in that same place, and that you can ask for help of someone. Go to a therapist if you need to. Go to a loved one if you need to. Or maybe this does it for you. I don't know. But if you're in that place, that's a big, big step forward. And if you're in that place, that means you're ready for a change. And now's a good time. Now's a good time right now. If my words can help you do that, cool. And if they suck, cool. Talk to me about it. So my goals this week changed a little bit. I just finished Little Red. So I'm making comics off of my goals currently. I'm going to take a little break from that. So my current goals are building a network/community. I do feel like I've been doing that overall. And then growth with my fan and my follower base and my skill level. Overall, I think I've been doing that as well. So did I build a network or community this week? Yeah, Man, the depression discussion, I think definitely help build some community as far as my Instagram. The one thing that sucks is people I think are reaching out to me on that level and answering a question that I put out, but I want to see people interacting with each other more. I think Discord is good for that, but I would love to see people on Instagram, and Instagram's just probably not the place for it. So I don't know what to do about that. I could do a Facebook group kind of thing. I'm not going to monitor. I'm not going to run that thing. So I feel like I'm kind of limited with how far I can take the network building on Instagram. With Discord, it's a much better experience. I think I might be at my, I might be kind of at a ceiling on Instagram. And I mean, it's not the platform's fault. I'll take responsibility for that. It's if I wanted to do more, I could do more. I could do a support group kind of thing if I wanted to go deep into mental health stuff for artists. But I might be at that. That's just I can't take that on. The other question I have. Oh, what could I have done better? I guess I already answered that for the network and community building. The next thing is, did I grow this week? Yeah, I did. I think overall I did because I'm always challenging myself, especially even with the Venom stuff. Even though it's Venom, I'm always trying to do things differently each time with design, character design, mashup design. I did a Mysterio Venom today. I spent a lot of time on that tonight, and really kind of try and push the values. I used digital paintbrush instead of my normal digital pencil and whatnot. Just to kind of really see if I can push and sell the values and understand lighting better. So I didn't study though that any differently, but I did try to execute it more faithfully. And I feel like I grooved with that. I feel like I started seeing things as shapes better and not just like flat shapes, I guess. I started seeing things in more forms, I should say. So I think I grew this week, but I haven't done any targeted practice. Mostly because of time, I guess. I really want to bust out these commissions first. Those are something I need to do at nighttime. And I just haven't been able to. I have 9 days off in a row. So that's, I think, what, 8 evenings, I think. Last night, no, 2 nights ago, I had a 103 degree temperature and I was done. Didn't do any work that night. Actually, I did a little bit of digital stuff. I didn't come downstairs and work with the markers and con the commissions. I wasn't really up for it. Last night, I fell asleep really early, like 9:30. I was feeling better, but I was done for the day. And tonight, I'm doing the podcast. It's 11:30 right now. Tomorrow night and Tuesday night, I should be able to do some commission work. Once the commissions are done, then all I have left is the 100 Venoms and the fundamentals. I'll kind of work on both of those at the same time. I am super serious about the fundamental thing. That's just there's this like growth, this focus that I want to really embrace right now. So I'm very serious about that. I do need to get the commissions done. Those are the priority. I've been paid a good chunk of money for that. So those obviously have to be the priority. That's where I'm at with that. So kind words, question or critique this week, man. I honestly can't pick. There's been some really nice words being thrown at me. But what I would invite you to do is to go to that post that I did on November 13th. That was about 5 days ago. The post is in my feed. And it's just the question that guy sent me about his depression and the job. And just read through the answers. It's pretty amazing how much love was put out there and how much support. So I can't pick one. I'm not going to pick one. They're all really, just really amazing. So please read those if you have. Honestly, a handful of minutes because there's a lot, and people wrote a lot. It wasn't just like, "Hey, feel better." It was people went, I think, pretty in depth for an Instagram response. I think pretty amazing. So just so many kind words and so much support in that. That's my answer for that topic, that section of the podcast. So last week's challenge was to for those of us doing the anthology to post kind of like a teaser or that it's coming out, coming soon kind of thing. Inner Geek Designs or Inner Geek Design. He did a logo for us, gave us a bunch of options in Discord, and we settled on one for now. Just a black and white thing that we'll probably adapt for the cover. But a handful of us put that with an image and posted that to Instagram to kind of let people know and to get some interest in it. There's a good chance that this is going to come out for free. I was asking my Discord members what they thought of it, and I think everyone said it's fine doing it for free. A couple people may not have responded yet, but I think it'll just come out for free so people can read it and get more eyeballs.
Hey, J Primecasters, welcome back to another Lab 5 Weekly Challenge. This week, pretty simple. Share a picture from another indie creator. Spend a bit of time going in their profile and find one that's your favorite and let them know. And that's it. Really easy, really simple. Just share and love this week and see if you can get another indie creator some support. That's it. Bye.
All right, Luke, appreciate that. Super easy, nice and simple. Builds community and is good for those of us in Discord that are, I think we're on our last week, dude. I think we're on our last week of finishing up the Primethology mini comics. Mine is all set to go. I need to format that for Harold, who's putting it all together. Thank you, Harold, again for that. All right, Instagram tip. This is something that really irritates me. I don't know if I've said, I don't think I've said this one before, but don't just put stuff out there without doing a little commentary. You have a caption box, like use the caption space. Stop asking people to follow you. I think it's so weird when people post a picture and then say a line like, here's Batman, and then don't forget to follow, and they tag themselves. Like if I were to put, don't forget to follow at the art of Justin Prime. Why? It's weird. I think it's kind of weird that you use a post to tell people to follow you. If your stuff is good enough, people will follow you. Except for me, I don't follow anybody. But use that space. That's the time. That is the time to connect with people. But I'll be more specific. I'll be more specific for you. Okay. Excuse me. I have a couple examples for you. Let's go with, I'm going to use, during my little, take a little break there. I'm going to use, let's see here. This is Gordon. Gordon, I'm using you, buddy. This is art_of_GordonWills. All right. So he posted a sketch he did. I think it's a sketch card of Batwoman Bombshell. He wrote, here's one of my Bombshell artist proof cards for the set. Batwoman, I think, has one of my favorite looks of all the Bombshell characters. Thanks for looking. Super sweet and to the point, right? But what he did is he put an opinion out there. And I want you to start putting opinions out there, okay? So what that did was give permission to people to agree or disagree. It opened up a conversation without being an ass. So he just put an opinion out there, super safe, didn't ruffle any feathers. And so someone wrote back, it says, Dragon Alloy wrote, I have to agree, I have a keychain of her. So someone agreed, gave him a comment, and added to the conversation by saying, I have a keychain of her. And then Gordon Wills wrote back, awesome, I've noticed over the last year, Funko has released a ton of cool Bombshell stuff. He added to the conversation again, Dragon Alloy did not follow up, and that's all right. But that was a nice little example. There was a couple of the comments. I think actually a bunch of other comments. But that was the one I wanted to highlight, was that it invited someone else to agree or disagree. So if you don't feel comfortable saying a whole lot, just put an opinion out there. I'm going to share one of mine as well, right? I wrote more. Just kind of balance it out. So I had posted the flats for Venom 17 out of 100. It's the Electro Venom, which I'm not very happy with, but I did it and I finished it. So my caption says, Venom 17 out of 100 flats. All right, this is in parentheses. And then I wrote, not the color palette you expected, huh? 3 question marks. The amount of question marks doesn't matter, but I'm just saying that. But so right off the bat, I'm asking a question without being a dick, I don't think. But I'm also challenging people. That's not what you expected, is it? So that's an invitation. Sorry, there's something flying in my face here. That's an invitation to say, I did expect that, Justin Prime, and you're an idiot. Or, I'm an idiot. I didn't expect that. So boom, there you go. Right off the bat, there's an invitation to respond without saying, hey, let me know what you think, or which is fine, I guess, but whatever. So then I go on to say, I turned his yellow face mask into the gray bony things as well as his yellow gloves. Right? So just describing what I did. That part makes a bit more sense in the final piece, so I'm giving people a little teaser. This is coming up. This is going to make sense in the next one. Considering he uses electricity in his face and hands, and that may not be true. I don't know if the actual electro, I think it's all over his body, but in my version of it, it's just in his face and hands. So a little teaser of the next one, someone could have jumped in and said, hey, no, idiot, electro uses, you know, electricity out of his whole body, including his wiener. But then I go on to say, I told you this is long. I figured the bony stuff would help protect the symbiote. So I had a little logic. I threw a little logic in there, right? Right? My thought process with the design. Then I go on to say, this is kind of fun. I'm really enjoying this. So then I go on to say, I know the symbiote can adapt or whatever, but I'm keeping it. So, you know, some purist could have said, and this has happened in the past, the symbiote can adapt, which I didn't know. So I knew that because someone else had left a comment previously telling me that that was true. I didn't know that. So I know the symbiote can adapt. So I'm saying, I know this is canon, but I don't care. I'm too cool for that. You know, again, someone could have jumped in and said, hey, don't mess with canon. They could have, but I'm just putting stuff out there. I'm just putting it out there. So then I go on to say, even though I hate the Venom 29 design, and at 2099, and I hashtagged Venom 29, I snuck the hashtag in there. Even though I hate the Venom 2099 design, I let it influence this one a lot. So I'm putting out an opinion, I hate the design, and talking about an influence. Oh, fucking Christ. God damn, that thing jumped in my face. Sorry. It's like a mosquito. In Stockton here, we've had a... if you're on YouTube, you saw me just jump there. We've had a big issue with... smoke here recently, and I've noticed there's been mosquitoes in my house. I think they're escaping from the smoke. And the coal has been freezing here. Wow. Sorry. It was a big jump. If you weren't watching that on YouTube, I invite you to come check that out. Anyhow, I let it influence this one a lot. And then I go on to say, I thought a tongue would be a distraction, wanted to bulk up Electra more than usual, and make the tendrils move more erratically, like electricity might. So I went deeper into what I did with the design, right? Now, the other thing I'm going to highlight here is the first comment was my comment thanking the first person that liked the picture. So I posted it. I waited a little around for a few seconds. I got my first like. And then I wrote, at Grocery Store Ninja, thanks for the first like. And then he left a comment. You see how that works? Me just being thankful invites him to be part of it. He says, this is my favorite so far, blah, 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 blah. And then I thanked him for that. So bam, 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 I got comments flying off the walls here. And then I got, there's two mosquitoes in here. I can see two mosquitoes in my damn office. All right, so a bunch of people said they liked it. This one looks dope. The word dope is thrown around a few times here. Willy-nilly, really. People like the design. So cool, all right, all good things. And I think people might have been trying to help me feel better. I don't know. They might have been pitying me. But what I want to highlight here is that Ah Hambaga says, I personally love Venom 29, but to each their own. And then I responded with a emoji with X's over the eyes and a shocked look. So hopefully they took that playfully. So there you go. I put a bunch of stuff out there. I just felt like going off on that one. I don't always put that much, but I did on that one. I noticed that when I'm typing, when I have my keyboard, I tend to write more, and it's more off the cuff. When I use my thumbs from my phone, I censor it more, I edit it more, because it's slower, I think. But me putting out that I hated 20, Venom 2099 invited her, I'm assuming it's a her or him, I don't know, to say, I love it. I don't know why they would love that design, but you see how it works. Do you get the idea? So don't just post and say, hey, follow me. I hate that. I hate that so much. Put an opinion out there. Talk about your process. Talk about your design, your thought process. You get the idea. That ended up being a much bigger tip than I thought it would be. That's what she said. Thank you so much for listening to episode 38. Catch you later.